আগামী 2 জুন অস্ট্রেলিয়ার ফেডারেল নির্বাচন। এই নির্বাচনকে সামনে রেখে আমাদের ধারাবাহিক আলাপচারিতায় আজ কথা বলব কিংসফোর্ড স্মিথ আসনের লেবার প্রার্থী ম্যাট থিসলওয়েট এমপির সঙ্গে। শ্রোতা বন্ধুরা, আলাপচারিতাটি ইংরেজিতে ধারণ করা হয়েছে। ম্যাট থিসলওয়েট, ওয়েলকাম টু দি SBS রেডিও বাংলা প্রোগ্রাম। Can you please introduce yourself to our listener with some background about you and your family?
Thanks, Abu. It's a pleasure to be talking to you. I'm really, really grateful for the opportunity to communicate with the Bengali community in Sydney. I'm very passionate and proud of the fact that I have a very active and growing Bengali community in the electorate that I represent, and they're wonderful people. They're community-minded, they value education, and they participate in our society, and I'm very, very pleased to be able to represent them and this community. I've born and bred in Maroubra, went to school locally, studied at the University of New South Wales. I got involved in politics through surf life saving. I've been a member of Maroubra Surf Club for 30 years, and it's through that community engagement at that group that I got an interest in politics. And when I was about 21 years old, I joined the local Labor Party branch in Maroubra, and I've been more and more involved ever since. I'm now the federal member for Kingsford Smith. I've been in this position since 2013, and I live in Matraville with my wife, and we have 4 daughters.
As many as 30,000 asylum seekers who arrived by boat under the Rudd Gillard government may be offered permanent residency. The move is the most significant departure made by the opposition leader from the tough border protection policies introduced by the coalition under former Prime Minister Tony Abbott. With Labor set to scrap temporary protection visa, Treasurer Scott Morrison, who was Immigration Minister in Tony Abbott's government, said Labor would send a message to people smugglers to restart their trade if the opposition wins the federal election. Your thought on this?
Labor has no tolerance at all for people smuggling. It's an insidious trade, and during the course of the Rudd-Gillard years, it saw 1,300 people drown, predominantly on the trip between Java and Christmas Island. So we changed our policies and we implemented the regional resettlement arrangement, and we're now at one with the government on this. We won't reopen that trade. We'll keep offshore processing. It's an important disincentive for people to get on boats. But having said that, we don't believe in temporary protection visas. We believe that if a person is found to be a genuine refugee, then they should be granted permanent protection in Australia. And the 30,000 relates to roughly the number of people who are in immigration detention in Australia, not offshore in Nauru and Manus Island, but in Australia. And Labor's approach is they should be assessed in accordance with domestic laws and the United Nations Treaty. And if they are found to be genuine refugees, offered permanent residency in Australia.
Labor is facing a budget shortfall of at least $8 billion on the strength of policies announced so far and the measures it has blocked in the Senate, with major new spending initiatives on hospitals and the NBN. The cost of Labor's election platform has been at the heart of the coalition attack, with Scott Morrison claiming the shortfall reaches about $70 billion, he said. Labor can't go out there and tell the Australian people that they are going to spend more money when they simply do not have the savings or even the revenue with their higher taxes to pay for those sort of commitments. Your comments on this?
Well, Labor will run a budget surplus over the longer term, the medium to long term, and Chris Bowen's already announced that. We've identified about $110 billion worth of savings within the budget. They include not offering multinational companies a big tax cut that ensures about $45 billion stays in the federal budget over the next decade. They include reforms to negative gearing, which saves close to $30 billion. We won't offer a baby bonus to people that the National Party forced the government to offer. So we make some savings within the budget. But we'll also generate additional revenue, and we will generate about $70 billion worth of additional revenue by increasing the tobacco excise, which raises close to $40 billion. We'll also change the rules for high-end superannuation, so introducing a 15% tax on anyone that's got more than $1.5 $1 million in their superannuation account and earns more than $75,000 a year off that, will charge a 15% tax. And also cracking down on multinational profit shifting. So we're confident that over the longer term we'll run budget surpluses and we'll begin budget repair that is fair, so that we're reining in the deficit, but we're not attacking the most vulnerable in our community. And that means we'll protect Medicare. It means we'll invest in hospitals and schools, and we'll grow our economy and create new jobs.
Chris Bounce says a Labor government would return the budget to balance in the same year as the coalition, but concedes the deficit would be worse off over the next 4 years. He said he will not be a big spending government, with Labor releasing a 10-year economic plan and Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull attacking Bill Shorten as the most left-wing anti-business Labor leader in a generation. Your comment on this?
Well, if you want to look at Labor's approach to our relationship with business, look no further than the fact that during the global financial crisis and in its wake, under Labor's leadership, Australia was the only developed nation in the world that didn't go into recession, where unemployment didn't get above 5.5%. So Labor's economic management credentials speak for themselves. During the most difficult period of our generation economically, we managed to continue to grow our economy and create jobs. And that's our economic credentials when it comes to managing our economy. Now, we'll do a similar job if we're elected on the 2nd of July, and that will mean that we will repair our budget, but we'll do it in a manner that's fair, but continues to grow our economy by investing in health, by investing in education, by investing in TAFE, by ensuring that we're investing in renewable energy and creating jobs in a new economy.
Shipping, aviation, paper manufacturing, light manufacturing, commercial and retail businesses, Sydney domestic and international airports are located into your electric division. Do you think proposed new airport in West will affect the business in general?
Well, Sydney Airport is an economic powerhouse, and I'm quite fortunate to have three very large and very important economic bodies in the electorate that I represent in Sydney Airport, the port at Botany, which is the second biggest container port in the country, and the University of New South Wales. We do need a second airport. There's no doubt about that. If you go to Sydney Airport on any day, you're almost guaranteed to get stuck in a traffic jam. The airport is struggling at the moment with the number of customers. That's only going to increase into the future. So if Sydney is to be a global city, we need to build for growth, and that includes a second airport. It's going to take a long time before the second airport becomes operational, and then even to ramp up is going to take at least, I think, 15 to 20 years. So I'm confident that Sydney Airport will remain the major gateway to Australia, and that it will continue to prosper and create many jobs and provide many jobs for people in our local community.
Redistribution and retirements. The Turnbull government goes into the election with the National 89 seats, Labor 57, with four members on the crossbench. The coalition can lose up to 13 seats on a uniform swing of 3.3% and remain in majority government. Labor needs to gain 19 seats on a uniform swing of 4% to form majority government. If the swing are uniform, Labor need close to 51% of the vote after preferences to win the 2016 election. What is your assessment?
Well, if you said 2 years ago that Labor would be in a position to win this election, most people would have said, you're crazy. But I think because Labor's been a united party over the course of the last 3 years under Bill Shorten's leadership, because we've focused on developing good policies and we've been consulting with the Australian public for 2.5 years on these policies, we've got the right plan for Australia. And I think Australians are beginning to recognise that as they delve into the different policies of the major parties. I think they're encouraged by the fact that Labor is investing in health and education, that we've got a plan for housing affordability, that we've got a plan to ensure that we'll invest in renewable energy, and that we're talking about the future of our economy and what the jobs of the future will look like. So I'm encouraged by the support that I've been getting in the local community, and I think Labor's going to be very competitive at this election. It's going to be very, very close, and I'm confident that if we continue to campaign the way we're going, we're in with a good shot.
in this double dissolution election, the whole Senate have to elect. The government currently has 33 seats and needs 6 extra votes to pass legislations. The mathematics of the low double dissolution quota for election means the government is unlikely to strengthen its position. But changes to the Senate voting system passed in March would drastically alter the composition of the crossbench. Your comment on this?
It's a good question. The great unknown with this election is the composition of the Senate after the 2nd of July, because we have a new voting system where people can preference both above the line and below the line. I think we're really unknown about what the outcome is going to be, because we're in a double dissolution election. The quota is reduced. So traditionally, it's been a bit easier for some of the more high profile independent parties or candidates to get elected. But this new voting system is the big change. So I'm not going to speculate on what the outcome will be or what the makeup of the Senate will be like. But I know that Labor's approach, as we've been in this government, is to develop plans that are based on what's in Australia's national interest and thinking of the future. And that's what we'll do regardless of the outcome on 2nd of July.
Labor have argued against any cut to penalty rates for retail and hospitality workers. But like the coalition, it says it's up to the Fair Work Commission. What is your comment on this?
Well, if you look at penalty rates in Australia, they've always been determined by the Fair Work Commission, by the independent third body on an industry basis. Now, that won't change under a Labor government. So penalty rates, which have been an important part of Australia's industrial and workplace system and provide a social safety net, so low-paid workers and people who are itinerant workers can gain an income that allows them to participate within society, that tradition will not change under a Labor government. It was Labor that established that system and is Labor that will protect that system into the future.
What has been your involvement with the multicultural groups, and what involvement have you had with the growing Bangladeshi community in your electorate?
Well, Abu, one of the great privileges I have is to represent a multicultural electorate. I've got people from all backgrounds and all parts of the globe. And I've developed great friendships with people in the local Bengali community in our area. And only last Sunday I was at an iftar with members of that community at Matraville. With the Bengali community, brought into place a Harmony Day cricket match. So we come together on an annual basis in my community now with the local police, and we play a game of cricket, something that our two nations have in common. And it's a great way to celebrate modern day Australia. And, you know, the Bengali community are wonderful people, and I consider them great friends. I've been going to people's weddings. I get invited to local community events, and that's what enriches our community. And that's why I'm so proud to have the friendship of the Bengali community and have a growing and active Bangladeshi community in the electorate that I represent.
Mr. Matt Thistlewaite, thanks for your time to SBS Radio Bangla program.
Thank you, Abu. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
কিংসফোর্ড স্মিথ আসনের লেবার প্রার্থী ম্যাট থিসলওয়েট এমপির সঙ্গে আলাপচারিতাটি শুনলেন।